In 2020, Belarus sounded very different, and not just because of the COVID-19 pandemic. In many countries that introduced lockdowns as a means to fight the pandemic, venturing out of your house could lead to a fine. There were no COVID lockdowns in Belarus, but simply going out in the street can lead to arrest, fine, beating, and even death. And you don't have to be an activist for that. The snatch squads can detain any random persons on the streets or at the people's homes. Today, any walk and even the simple act of going out of your house is political and can have dramatic consequences. "I am walking," said the 74-year-old symbol of the Belarusian protest, Nina Baginskaya, to the riot policeman who wanted to stop her. "I am coming out, я выхожу," were the last words of Roman Bondarenko, who has died in November after being beaten by the pro-state vigilante. "Roma, we've came out," were our words, when instead of the massive street marches, we've turned to smaller neighborhood demonstrations and solidarity chains, fast, flexible, but more risky. Since the August 2020 have started, I've stopped making my own music, but I kept recording what I heard at the street demonstrations and in the residential courtyards where the DIY concert and theater performances were held. Little by little, I was documenting the soundscape of the protest in Belarus. That's how Political Soundworks project was created. An archive of audio recordings from protest marches, rallies, DIY concert and theater plays, and various other forms of sonic and cultural resistance to the dictatorship. I thought that Soundwalk was a good concept to use while collecting the field recordings, because the protest almost always entailed walking long distances through the wide streets, squares, central or sleeping districts of Minsk. Sirens of ambulances, the enforcers, fire brigades and other special vehicles that usually signal extraordinary situations and emergency have intensified and constantly reminded that the situation has become a permanent emergency. But this also signaled the emergence of a new society. Many people would tell you that the most iconic sound of the 2020 was the sound of car horns. Cars, often hated by urban activists and regular city residents for being dangerous obstacles, the source of noise, pollution and irritation, became people's allies. They not only helped to block the streets during the demonstrations or to evacuate the wounded protesters, but became instruments to acoustically express rage, support and solidarity. Cars and their signals were widely used during the previous protest actions, but in summer and autumn 2020 their sound became ubiquitous and persistent. The car signals merged into an endless drone. During the first, the most brutal nights of the post-election protests, when the riot police was crushing the peaceful protesters, you couldn't hear people's voices from the distance. You couldn't even hear the gunshots. What you heard was a constant backdrop of car honking, sometimes silenced by explosions of flashbang grenades. Each side of the conflict was fighting for the acoustic space by demarcating and appropriating it with sound. Instead of a much-discussed dialogue that the people demanded and tried to start, the state just wanted us to shut up. Music was always used by the state to silence the opposition voices, but not in such a large scale. This time, in order to deter protesters, to create psychological and acoustic pressure, the state has widely used music broadcasted at the pro-state rallies and concerts and at the street mountain speakers. One of the peculiar cases of using sound against the protesters was an old Soviet armored vehicle with loudspeakers mounted on its turret. It can be classified as a long-range acoustic device, but luckily it cannot focus the sound narrowly, and most likely harms only the soldiers who have to listen to this unbearably loud music right near the singing tank, how the protesters call this machine. It was used to air an eclectic mix of very loud music, old Soviet military songs, music by contemporary military pop bands, what I call paratroopers pop, mellow folk rock from the 70s or 80s, and the newest patriotic hits by the pro-state musicians. Sometimes the effect of the singing tank was rather comical, with couples of protesters dancing waltzes, the music, or just laughing at it. The singing tank, as well as the public announcement systems on the main avenues, also broadcasted propaganda messages, but mostly they aired police announcements. Respected citizens, police disperse, you're breaking the law. A young guy beaten so severely in August that he couldn't walk mocked these police messages. Sitting in a wheelchair on the main avenue, he addressed the passersby. Respected citizens, please do not disperse. You are abiding the law. Later he was sentenced to a prison term too.
Уважаемые граждане, просьба не расходиться. Вы соблюдаете законодательство Республики Беларусь.
Parody, satire, humor, elements of carnival were often present during the protests. Russian and Russian languages, the words for vote and voice are the same, golos or golos. So, by protesting against the falsified presidential elections and the state terrorism that have followed, people were literally getting their voices back. Many have literally discovered they had voices, as citizens and persons, for the first time in their life. They've learned to express their indignation publicly, instead of silently swallowing it. They were learning to shout, to sing and to listen to each other. Even mimes can't be silent anymore, was written on a poster held by a mime during one of the marches. Widespread practice during the protest was the sounding of the space, speaking the space aloud, pronouncing it during the demonstrations. This is our city, this is our yard, this is our district. These were the words that we chanted during the marches, at the avenues, squares and in the neighborhoods. Especially now, when instead of the huge demonstrations, the local marches are smaller, rapid and unpredictable, within neighborhoods and inner streets. Passing through the yards, people also chant, join us, look out of your window, don't watch TV. The space was also claimed through such practices as shouting or singing windows. When at 8 or 9 p.m. people opened their windows and shouted Long Live Belarus, or they would tune into the Peremeny live radio and play the protest songs from their windows. This practice have started in summer, especially during the first days after the elections. People were putting speakers on the windowsills, playing Междём перемен by Виктор Цой and other protest songs. Then they gathered in the yards, getting to know each other, sometimes talking to the neighbors for the first time ever. They discussed the situation, the faked election results, and how to disprove them. These discussions continued online in neighborhood Telegram chats. That's how the neighborhood communities were born. A lot has been said about the role of the digital technologies in the protests. Messengers, social media platforms, VPN, proxies, were helping people to communicate and to share information, ideas and art. But I think that the prehistoric technologies of communication, cooperation, trust building and solidarizing are more important, especially when the internet is blocked or when you don't know who is who in the Telegram chat. You're learning to trust and cooperate with your neighbors, gradually expanding your trusted contact network. Of course, you can talk to random people you meet during a demonstration, when escaping and hiding from the enforcers. But the best place for such communication, sharing the ideas and making friends, were the DIY concerts and tea parties in residential yards. Kids' playgrounds, empty spaces between the buildings, became theaters, open-air festivals, poetry stages. Dozens of such yards emerged on the city map. Some of the yards and the events became so popular that people from other neighborhoods traveled there for concerts. By walking from one such yard to another, in talking to people you never met before, you've learned your neighborhood and its society in a new way, as never before. One can say that 2020 was an age of great geographical and sociological discoveries in Minsk and other cities. The political activity has even led to changes of urban topography. Dozens of new place names emerged on the city maps, and each neighborhood, small or big, was inventing its own flag and symbols based on the historical white-red-white Belarusian flag. So, during the biggest demonstrations, people could find their neighbors by looking for the local flags in the crowd. Here I will be using audio recordings from two such places, Change Square or Площа Пирамен, and Chess Yard, Шахматный Дворик. These two yards are about 300 meters apart, and sometimes you could drift between them to catch a concert of this or that band. Change Square, in fact, is a kids' playground, an adjacent yard between the several residential towers. The place was named the Change Square by its residents, because of the incident near the Kyiv cinema, which is also a couple of minutes walk from there. A few days before the elections, the plaza near the cinema was occupied by the state-organized event. It was held there in order to hinder an alternative presidential candidate, Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, from meeting her supporters. At some point during this event, two sound guys, who were putting on the music tracks, suddenly put on the main protest song, Перемен, by Виктор Цой. This immediately turned a dull state event into an opposition rally. The DJs were arrested soon after that, and after spending several days in prison and severe beating, luckily they managed to escape to Lithuania. Soon, a mural depicting these two DJs appeared on a ventilation booth in a nearby yard. The residents put a street name plaque on the booth as well, Change Square, or Square of Changes. The rest was history. This yard became a focal point of protests and an example for many other neighborhood communities in Minsk and beyond. In the previous years, the protest almost always took a form of a rally, a meeting with several speakers addressing the crowd. But in 2020, most of the political leaders were arrested before or during the main events, or had to escape the country. So, there were no stages and no speeches at the protests. Instead, tens or hundreds of thousands of people walked through Minsk, claiming their voices and freedom, and also claiming and rediscovering the urban space. The Belarusian architect Dmitry Zadorin said that the huge squares and avenues of Minsk were built for marching masses. And during the protests, we have used these vast spaces a lot. Every Sunday, and sometimes on the other days too, the main streets were blocked for traffic by the enforcers, and tens or hundreds of thousands have flooded the streets. The internet was also blocked during the Sunday marches, and you could orient in the city mostly by your eyes and ears. The newly found interest in history of the country and the city has led to lectures and guided walks led by historians. In a peaceful time, a guided walk around your district with a dedicated and inspired researcher seems like a perfectly normal thing, or even something boring, something that you wouldn't join in your normal everyday life, especially if it's raining. But in autumn of 2020, such a walk became acutely political and exciting, especially if some people in your group have white red white umbrellas. The drivers of the passing cars honked to greet our small column, thinking that we were on a demonstration.
Кожним разом з кірмашу бідний Косю мій перестий сам спинявся за переспай. Розумів мою душу, що ні у спеку, ні у дощ нас не випустять дарма придорожная корчма з назвою «А кожні грош». А далі був протяг. А Довгіновський гостиниць, це теперішню вулицю Червякова, вартували три корчми, це назва іншої корчми. Не минуть їх, як чуми, кожний подавай гостиниць.
Here was a snippet from my guided walk around Starozhovka, one of the historical districts of Minsk, a poem by a children poet Vasil Vitka, who used to live here. The state propaganda has used poetry as well, for For example, in August, a small girl, allegedly from Donbas, was touring these pro-Lukashenko rallies, reading poems to warn the Belarusians about the horrors of war.
Интриг, когда предательство и росте, где от невежества исходит страх со злостью, там, где хуцпа демон критическими экспансий вербует ненависть для неизменных пристрастий.
I'm politically biased, but when a kid recites a poem written clearly by someone else, by a much older person, when she doesn't know how to pronounce certain words, like democratic, which is an insult in the eyes of the authoritarian states, I can't shake the feeling that it's a highly exploitative act performed on this kid. Quite a different effect is listening to the poetry by the local poets at the local courtyard. Again, I'm biased, but I hear a genuine emotion, feel that these words render the pain of the poets themselves. Here is Vlad Zelenkevich telling that we are fed up of hiding and partisaning, we are dancing on the streets, and thus we say stop. This is our dance in a public place. This is our dance, not approved by anyone. Every time we feel it with a new sense, we are dancing even when we stand still.
Увага! Ведеться відеоназирання! Увага, ми бачимо подозрюваних осіб. Яни розпочали дике полювання. Думали, утечем, а ми зустрікаємо їх у лоб. Гета наш танець у громадськім місці. Гета наш танець не узгоднений ні з ким. Кожний раз новим, наповняєм змістом. Ми танчим навіть коли стоїм. Увага, ведеться відеоназирання, де нам надокучив тісний окоп. Нам надокучило ховатися і партизаніть. Ми танчим на вулицях, і гетак ми кажемо стоп. Гета наш танець у громадськім місці. Гета наш танець не узгоднений ні з ким. Кожний раз новим наповняєм змістом. Ми танчим навіть, коли стоїм. Дякую великим.
He also read a poem about this very place where this poetry evening was held, because he has taught his wife to ride a bike here. Thus, the poetry and urban topography suddenly merged. People named this abandoned space with cracked asphalt the chess yard, because there used to be huge concrete chess pieces decorating the nearby playground.
А зараз прочитаю віршик, власне, який був написаний, коли я тут жив, і я свою жінку вчив їздити на ровери, між іншого, от на цій пляцовці і ось тут от перед цією поліклінікою. Ворони кричать голосами капризних дітей. Великі смітні, корони дрив, ровер. По лужинах у двори описує одно за одним. Восьмерка кола, восьмерка кола, восьмерка кола.
I think some people have heard the contemporary Belarusian poetry for the first time. People have discovered that poetry is not just boring text of long dead authors, but resonant words of young people who live near them and immediately react to the current events with their poetry. For the poets, it was a great way to expand their audience, or even to read their poetry publicly for the first time. A man living nearby came and read a few short poems. His two small kids were running around, throwing heaps of autumn leaves in the air and hugging their father's legs while he recited poems in the microphone. The kids were always a part of such evenings, be it concerts, theater performances, or poetry evenings. Some of them were drawing at a small table in a corner, while at another table in the opposite corner, the parents were signing postcards to political prisoners. Other kids were sitting on the father's shoulders or just playing, running across the improvised stage under chestnut trees, sometimes trying to help the actors and musicians to perform. These neighborhood events had a very different format comparing to regular concerts and festivals organized in the proper venues. Here, the audience was very mixed. The space was structured differently too. But the biggest difference was that the musicians, actors and poets came to people, not vice versa, as before. All in all, these evenings were celebrations of newly found solidarity and freedom in spite of the harsh situation. people are finally discovering the local musicians, and the musicians have found a wider audience for their art. It is estimated that several hundred protest songs and music videos were created since the August 2020. Many people have also discovered the joy and power of singing, especially a group singing in choirs, and have learned a lot of new music. Without music, art and creative expression, the recent events would be unbearable. Understanding the musicians, poets and actors' role in inspiring and consolidating the people, the state has been increasingly repressing the artists and event organizers. By November 2020, making such events became almost impossible. Dozens of musicians were already arrested during the concerts, after them or on the way home. Some of them, like the drummer Alexei Sanchuk, were accused in coordinating the protests. After spending several months in prison, Sanchuk was sentenced for 6 years for organizing a disorder and teaching people how to clap their hands.
Роман Бондаренко скончался в больнице вечером 12 ноября. Туда он был доставлен с травмами из отделения милиции.
On the 11th of November, 31-year-old man Roman Bondarenko was beaten at the Change Square after he went there to stop the unknown people who came to destroy the white, red, white flags and ribbons. These people have beaten him, snatched him into a minibus. He was already brutally beaten when an hour later they took him to a nearby police station. He died in a hospital on the next evening. And thousands of people have walked and drove to the Change Square to mourn his death. This playground that gave place to numerous concerts and friendly evenings now became a place of a spontaneous memorial. Hundreds and hundreds of people were coming, leaving candles and flowers at the place where Roman was beaten and abducted. I've heard a little boy asking his father, "Why do people leave candles here?" "A man was killed here yesterday." "A man? Is he your friend?" "No, I don't know him." "What is his name?" "Roma." "Roma is a short for a man, and his name has always been heard in our chants since then. Coordinated only by grief and anger, we demanded justice, a tribunal for the criminals." Here, the new chants were born on this evening, like, "Why did you kill Roma?" But the main one was, "I'm coming out. Roma, we've came out." Because the last words he wrote in a neighborhood telegram chat were, "I'm coming out." When we came here 3 days later, on Sunday, the 15th of November, the area around the yard was surrounded by the massive presence of various detachments of security forces, backed by armored cars and a water cannon. After the enforcers have exploded a few flashbang grenades, families with kids and elder people have left the place. And the enforcers started to encroach and move to the very memorial itself. A woman stood on her knees in front of them and started to pray. Some guy told her, "Lady, please stand up, they do not deserve it." And then the people pushed back, with their voices only. Raising bare hands to show we're unarmed, we started chanting, "Go away, it's our yard." It felt so wrong that those armed men wanted to capture and destroy this place of mourning filled with flowers, posters, candles and pain, that we just couldn't let them enter.
Уходите! 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 Уходите!
Уходите! Уходите! Уходите! Уходите! Уходите! Уходите! Уходите! Уходите! Уходите! Уходите! Уходите!
After some hesitation, they have retreated. Even the Predator water cannon drove away. It felt like an act of exorcism and was so intense that I thought it lasted about 3 minutes. But after listening to the recording, I was surprised that this resistance lasted about 10 minutes. This experience was so intense and draining that I had to went home for a while to prepare for the evening. We knew that this small victory was temporary, that they would come back and most likely would encircle the area in a couple of hours when the darkness falls. But more and more people were arriving to the place from all directions, so we were sure the place was secure for at least a couple of hours. Just 30 minutes later, I saw the people going away fast towards the city center. It meant that the kettling of the Change Square has commenced. Hundreds were detained there, including the journalists who were live streaming the events. The whole area was blocked till the next morning. People wanting to go to a shop and come back had to prove they lived there. All night long, the riot police and the military were searching through the houses, sometimes breaking into apartments or destroying the residents' security cams, because hundreds of people managed to hide in the residential houses that surrounded the yard. Dozens of people were crammed into flats and basements and had to wait till the morning. The people had to keep quiet, not talking, not using toilets, and not making any noise. A friend of mine, who was hiding in a basement with about 60 more people, told me that they had to keep absolute quiet, staying in uncomfortable postures on the floor, almost like in prison cells. People were hungry, thirsty, they needed to use the toilet, and to notify their families. It was very stressful, and at midnight one woman wanted to go home, but the group couldn't let her out, as that would expose all of them. The blockade lasted for about 18 hours and was lifted in the morning. After this blockade, the state has introduced a map of the areas of the city that needed special attention. This has evoked comparisons with ghettos, but also many jokes. People were proud to live in the protest district. At the Change Square, a permanent police presence was installed, so no DIY events happened there anymore. But the residents still resist and make themselves heard. If you happen to pass this or other densely populated areas at 9 p.m., you can hear people chanting «Живе Беларусь» from the windows and balconies of the residential towers, and people from nearby houses relay the chant further. In a situation when the city and especially the protest yards are occupied, such evening roll calls and rapid and announced mini-marches in the neighborhoods are what keeps people's hope alive and signals that the resistance is not suppressed.